Today's program is brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal, and we're doing a special show up in Westchester. It's the Westchester Beer Show. We're hosted by John Bluestein in the Portchester Hall, which is a great new establishment in Portchester, Westchester, right off of the train. The show will cover everything from supermarkets in Westchester, the DeChicos, who are selling more beer than anybody else, to some of the boutique beer bars like Birdzell House and The Craftsman in Harrison. But we're joined by John Bluestein today. So, Jack, you know, this is a remote record. This is going to be our Thanksgiving show. So, but here we go. John Bluestein from Heartland Brewery and Portchester Hall. John, welcome to the show.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks a lot, man. So,
you're awesome, man.
You're editing.
We're going. We can edit.
Okay. So, where we're sitting right now, for you guys out there who can't see, we're sitting in the train room at the old Portchester Railway Station, which is still an operating station to this day. It was built in 1885. So we're surrounded by images of trains, illustrations, and actual photographs that go all the way back to 1885.
You know, it's amazing. We just heard a train go by with its whistle, and you even have a ticket booth inside the bar.
Yeah, an operating ticket booth that's open until about 2 p.m. We got that, and also in this room is probably 70 steins. Many of them date back from the turn of the century, just like these train images. This is one of our private rooms, and it's used almost twice a week. That doesn't sound good. we fill it almost every night.
Well, let's go around the room. This is we're here because you've got this great new place in Westchester, and there's some other awesome places. So, you guys ever introduce themselves? So, we got the DeChico guys.
Sure, Joe DeChico here.
It's Chris DeChico.
All right, and you guys have how many markets do you guys have?
So there's 10 DeChico family markets total, and again, they're kind of upscale, specialty gourmet supermarkets. The five that we're kind of in charge of really emphasize on beer. Local beer, growlers, and two of them have full functioning bars right inside the supermarket where you could just
so
stop.
Rumor has it, so if I go shopping with my wife, I can sit and have beers?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Assuming that she's shopping and I'm
absolutely
drinking.
Oh, that's one of the greatest ideas ever.
That's great.
Grocery store.
That's great.
It'd be better if you could go up and down the aisles with a beer.
Hey, you can legally.
Nobody's thought about it.
You can legally?
Yeah.
We just don't
drink and drive that cart?
Yeah. Yeah, you legally can. It's not an issue. But we try to keep in the bar area as much as possible so things don't get out of control. But you definitely can do that.
I mean, I heard you guys move a lot of beer. You're selling imports, American craft.
Yeah. We got into the whole craft beer scene mid-90s, probably 94, 95. My brother was studying in England at the time, came back and opened his eyes to the world of beer outside of your usual macro stuff that was available in the U.S. So it really started a lot of imports at the time. And then back then, the Sierra Nevada of the world, the Anchors of the world, a lot of great breweries are now out of business, unfortunately, like Catamount and Wild Goose, which were big back then. But that's what really got us into it, and we started then, and it's been about 20 years now, very heavily in the craft business for us.
Wow, this is actually my first time drinking beer in Westchester. And I'm happy to be with you guys. So, John, I know that... So, you guys, you own Heartland Brewery.
I got the five Heartlands, and this is my third of four beer halls. We just opened Bernheim and Schwartz on the Upper West Side near Columbia. And this is the third one, and we're loving it. We're loving it. We're driving our brewmaster crazy every time we open one. He's got to play catch-up. but it is a lot of fun. This one opened just this past June. Got 10 beers on tap. The local community has been extremely supportive and very happy we're here. And the people from the Capitol Theater across the street are also happy that people have a place to hang out.
So this is a nice trip from the city. I could take the Metro North to Port Chester, get out, spend an afternoon, and go back to the city.
That's what people do. A lot of people come without driving. So and there's the trains are like every half hour to hour. Very convenient.
Well, cheers. So you guys also make beer. So you're Heartland Brewery, Greenpoint Beer Works.
Yep.
So you make all the beers for all your establishments.
Exactly. They're all proprietary. And over the course of a year, we probably make about 30 kinds of beer for our restaurants. We try to generally make different beers for the beer halls than Heartland, because Heartland has a stable of about 7 beers that we've been making for about 15 or 20 years. We modify the recipes from time to time. Kelly loves to do that. but we keep the beer halls rotating regularly. In one of our beer halls right now, we have a barrel-aged Scotch ale that's aged in Knob Creek whiskey barrels. And that's gotten a huge reception. So he's having a barrel-aged series at one of the restaurants.
So that's amazing. So Kelly Taylor is your brewer.
Yeah.
And
he's been the director of brewing operations at Heartland for about 14 years now. And Heartland opened the brewery out in Fort Greene in 2002. And he's been out there the whole time. He helped design it. And he's terrific. He also works with training the bartenders on beer at the beer halls. We have beer 101 class. We have beer 201 class. They visit the brewery. It's very important that our staff really know their beer.
What beer is this, John?
This is our single hop. And I like this one, which is very popular, by the way. I like this one because it's kind of hopped just beyond what a good Pilsner might be hopped at. And it's kind of, to me, it's the next generation of Sierra Nevada. And it's not too much grapefruit. It's not too much bittering. It's not, it doesn't hit you too hard in the back of your mouth, in front of your mouth. It's a session pale ale, which I feel is hard to find.
We got Tim Reinke here from Birdsville House, also it's a great beer bar in Peekskill. And Joe Vecchiadomini.
Vecchiadomini.
And AJ Fusco of the Craftsman Ale House in Harrison, just down the road. What do you guys think of this, the Port Chester Hall, the single hop pale ale?
I think it's a great pale ale.
Yeah, it's nice, well balanced. You know, like you said, it's not too bitter.
Thanks. So you're saying it's like the next generation of Sierra Nevada?
Well, Sierra Nevada was a one-product company for a long time, and they had to expand as people's palates expanded. But now Sierra Nevada is tamed by today's hop standards. So this is a little bit more than Sierra Nevada, a little bit, obviously not as carbonated. I hope it's on the menu forever.
What do you guys think? It's talking about like going from Sierra Nevada pale ale to this single hop pale ale. It seems that styles keep evolving. And I was with Bill Kovaleski from Victory the other day, and he was talking about how they started off with the Hop Devil, but now they've gone to the next series, Dirt Wolf, and all these other things. I mean, do you think that their beers have to evolve?
Yeah, I think breweries have to evolve more so than beer styles. I think as far as palates change, people are going to make beer to, you know, just kind of surprise everyone's palates. But with that said, there's still room for, you know, the originals, if you will, your true to styles, your pale ales, your, you know, you still need your base and you still need to do those well in order to stick with the market, you know. Doesn't mean you can't push the envelope, you know, all the time, but you still need to, you know, be true to certain styles. And you can, even with single hops and pale ales, I mean, that's a twist on a traditional style. But it's equally as successful. You know?
So, Joe, you guys are the Craftsman Ale House in Harrison.
Harrison, yeah.
You're also by a train station.
Yeah, also North. By the Harrison train station.
When did you guys open?
We opened November 1st, 2011, so we're approaching 3 years now.
And what kind of beers do you have on tap?
Well, we have we have 8 lines, and we have about 150 bottles. Our 8 lines are always rotating. I mean, sometimes they'll rotate the same day. You know, we move a lot of beer. We move it quickly. You know, we're not one of those that has 30 different lines and anything's clogging it up. It's just constantly changing. That's the way we like it, you know. So we're always, you know, having something that, you know, you have to come every day in order to keep up with what we're doing.
You know, we asked about the Westchester beer scene. I mean, everyone said the Craftsman Ale House. Everyone said Birdsall. We came up here because Portchester Hall is new. And then it's really you guys, the Chico's. I mean, you guys have been selling a lot of beer for a long time. I mean, what is it about the Westchester beer scene? Do you think there's a lot of room for potential growth? Are there going to be a lot more breweries in Westchester?
There definitely is. I mean, when we started, it was very early in the stages. Westchester really took off, I would say. So we started in the mid-90s with craft, really not until Captain Lawrence opened up, and that's what really blew up the Westchester scene. Like, once Captain Lawrence, we had a really great, successful local brewery. Yeah, they opened in 06. I mean, that's what really made the Westchester scene blow up. I mean, that's been huge. And ever since then, now there's so many awesome breweries opening up.
Yeah, that's a good point. That 2006 seems to be when things started to really almost get out of control. There's a lot of breweries in Westchester, man. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
I live in Beacon, and one opened. I didn't even know about it. It opened right under my nose.
Like, so what are all the Westchester breweries?
The State Brewers Association can't keep up with the number of breweries that are
opening. There's like a brewery a day opening in this country. Right? So you got to make good beer, though. That's the problem, you know? Back in the day, if there was a new brewery came up, we would buy it.
Yeah.
Meet the guy, and, you know. Now you can't really... You need to taste it first.
You got
to
go more selective now.
What are the Westchester breweries?
I can't do that.
What are the Westchester breweries?
I mean, Peekskill, Captain Lawrence,
Broken Bow,
Rushing
Dog. Well, they're Hudson Valley.
Yonkers.
Hudson Valley.
There's not that many.
Well, Crossroads is in Westchester.
Yeah.
Sloop.
Yeah. But you guys,
nice beer. I mean, Portchester Hall is pretty special. I mean, it's building on the history. And look at these steins too. Tell us about your glassware program, because it's you've definitely gone beyond what the typical beer bar does. Yeah,
these are the beers we're drinking out of.
Well,
normally we'd be drinking through half liters and typical Rostal German steins that we bring over, and we have 35 ounce full liters as well. These are the babies we're drinking out of now, and they're only 12 ounces, but they're also extra thick to hold the temperature, especially when you're drinking outside in the beer garden or the beer pavilion, and the other ones are even heavier. So when they hit the ground, they bounce, they don't break. So they're great.
I'm a little offended we didn't get the 32
ounces. We only have 15 minutes.
That's towards the end of the show.
That's the last one.
After Thanksgiving dinner, you drink that, you watch the game, and you fall asleep.
Oh, yes, the Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
So, Tim, the Birdsall House, we're trying to get everybody in the first segment or two.
Right.
Birdsall House, tell us about your program.
We took we opened in 2010. We basically took an old 40s tavern and put in 20 draft lines, and we have about 20 bottles, and started doing food that would match the quality of the beer. And 2012 or 2011, we opened a beer garden next door, or outside, you know, connected. And, it's been good ever since.
So you guys are on the Metro North, too, right? In Peekskill?
Kind of. We're like a 15-minute walk uphill. So I've done it plenty of times myself, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like this, where you literally walk off the train and you're two steps into the bar, and that's nice, but...
The walk back to the train is the adventure.
It's easier. It's kind of roll down the whole way. Yeah. Yeah. Just rolling a $5 cash run. Yeah. $6.
You used to be part of the Blind Tiger, too.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like beer royalty.
I guess so. No.
Blind Tiger?
Yeah, I got involved in... I worked at the one on Hudson, and then I got involved when they moved the new one in 2004. Was when we got... The original one had a ton of investors at Galbraith. Once the lease was up, that deal was done, and then there were just four of us got involved in the room. So, yeah.
And then you couldn't serve beer for a couple of years, right?
It wasn't a couple of years. It was almost a year. It was like 9 months.
Wow.
But we still had to pay rent.
I really felt for you guys when that happened.
Yeah. We almost ran out of money.
There was some church upstairs around the corner that nobody knew about.
We tried serving coffee and that, you know.
Oh, man.
You can make money on coffee, but you got to have a line out the door. You know? So we were kind of breaking even on the coffee, but it really wasn't worth it.
Oh, I'd be crying my beer.
Just yeah. But anyway, it finally happened.
And then when did you came up to Bird's Old House?
We opened that in 2010. After I moved up to Westchester, I got tired of commuting down to the city. So, and I wanted to do something up there. And my partner, John Sharp, and I came across this, the Birdsall House. Well, it used to be Connolly's. And it wasn't for rent, it was just this bar. You know, we'd look in the window and think, like, somebody's got to do something with this place. So we finally got a hold of somebody at City Hall, and I asked about the building. And a month later, I got a call from the owner, and it all kind of started there. And they were willing to rent it. They were very sensitive about it, though, because they both, their dad, John Connolly, had ran the place for 50 years. Literally, like, he was behind the bar every day. And when he passed away, the business kind of faded away, too. But they didn't want to let go because they had such an attachment to it.
That's great hearing about the history of your place, you know. And this place here, Port Jefferson Hall, is pretty amazing. I mean, I'm going to talk it up because it's beautiful. And, you've got beer memorabilia throughout.
Right. We've got American beer steins. There's one for Knickerbocker Beer, which I guess they stopped producing in the 1960s. And they were the beer of Madison Square Garden back then. And that's probably a 2.5 liter stein, about 20 inches tall. A lot of these are German steins, but you'll see some from Dutch Ale, and which is a New York brand. I think.
Are they attached to the shelf?
You're damn right there.
We're drinking out of those later.
It's within reach.
There's this double-sided stick tape, which is heavy duty,
pressure sensitive.
You can't get those things off there. But I'm sure people have tried.
We're just gonna get a big straw.
Yeah. You know, some of them are worth $3, others $300. And you probably can't tell which.
No, we can't. All right. Well, hey, this is our first segment. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
So, you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, GreatBrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. GreatBrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, GreatBrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile beer cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit GreatBrewers.com today.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. We're doing a special recording in Westchester at the Portchester Hall right off of the Metro North. We've got some great guests here, including guys from Birdsall House, the Craftsman Ale House in Harrison, the Chico's Markets, and of course, John Bluestein, the owner of Portchester Hall. So this is our Westchester Beer Show, just in time for Thanksgiving. So guys, we're talking about what it's like having beer bars and establishments in Westchester, and this is a beautiful establishment here, Portchester. But like you guys, the Craftsman Ale House in Harrison. You're also by the Metro North.
Yeah.
So we could go on the train from Grand Central in New York. We could come up to Portchester, visit Portchester Hall, and then go back and stop.
Yeah, we're two stops away. We're about literally 100 yards away from the train station, so you can stop off, have a couple beers, and then get back on the train.
But everyone I asked about Westchester Beer, they all said, you got to ask the guys from Craftsman, the Craftsman Ale House in Harrison.
Sure.
And AJ, you guys are partners?
No, I'm a bartender there.
You're a bartender. So you come up, AJ,
yeah,
and talk. Come
here, yeah,
you're the
yeah.
quiet guy. You're a fireman and a bartender.
Yeah. I actually work at the firehouse right down the street, and I live around the corner, so Joe can't get rid of me.
Yeah.
But it's been great. I've been there almost a year now, and I've learned more about beer working at the Craftsman than any other point in my life. And I've worked at beer distributors. I've delivered, tons of beer, but I just never learned too much about it. And then Joe asked if I wanted a job, I guess, because I was there way too much. And it's been awesome.
I'll tell you, if you like to drink beer, it's a pretty damn good job working at a bar.
Yeah.
It? I bet your beer bills went down.
Yeah. Significantly.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point is having like-minded people that want to do what you do and have the same passion that you have. And, you know, and I'm sure everybody can hear or tell you that, you know, having a great staff that is into what you do every day, you know, makes everything so much easier and so much more fun. You know, we spend more time, you know, educating people, you know, on a daily basis, and that's where, you know, you see that their faces light up when they realize, you know, they've been missing out this whole time. You know, it's a whole other world out there. Stuff that we don't experience for ourselves anymore, really. You know,
I had a gentleman come in, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago, and he asked, "Oh, can I get a Heineken?" And you know, I went through a little spiel about, you know, how you serve craft beer, and he was pretty welcoming to that. And I said, "I have something that you might like." So I poured it for him, gave it to him. I let him, you know, have a few sips. I came back to his table later and I asked him how he liked the beer, and he actually said, "You know, this is better than Heineken." And to me, like, that moment right there was like, this is what I'm here for. Yeah. This is amazing.
So what beer would you serve instead of Heineken?
You know,
yeah, what did you get?
I don't remember exactly. What it was. It was too much. We go through beer a lot.
One of those pills.
Something along those lines.
But it's a one-way street. Once you get that guy converted, it's a good beer.
It works, whatever it is.
They're not. It doesn't go the other way.
And then he talks about it. If he's discovered it for the first time, he'll tell other people
about
it.
And we live vicariously through those people because, you know, we don't get our minds blown like that very often anymore. So it's like, oh, my God.
Exactly.
You look at someone else and you're like, yeah, I remember that feeling. I remember, you know, having something for the first time. And, you know, there's very, very few, you know, moments like that anymore.
For us, that's huge, converting people. I mean, for us, we're a supermarket. So we get every type of person possible. Unlike a craft beer bar where you're going there for craft beer, we're a supermarket. So, like, it always works. We open a store, you're selling, like, a good amount of Budweiser. Within a year, we can't give it away because we convert so many of our customers over to, like, craft beer. It's amazing. Like, that's been a huge thing for us. And the bars within our store have been a huge part of helping convert people because we get those everyday people that are not into craft whatsoever, but because they're in our stores, we can convert them.
I think even in Westchester, I think the biggest thing that makes us successful is the fact that most of the people are in the city at some point, and, you know, up until a few years ago, that's where you had to go to hang out and have a few beers and have craft beer, and, you know, and then we have a lot of commuters, and so they'd come home and to live in Westchester, and there's nothing around. And so now it's more of, you don't have to go into the city to make a night of it. You can have it on a daily basis. You can, everything that you see in the city that's trending there is now trending in their own neighborhood, in their own daily lives. And so now it's not, you know, as big a deal. It's not hard to find. You know, you go to the Chico's and, you know, you pick up something that you had at the Craftsman the night before and you loved, and you're like, okay, now I don't have to make a trip to get what I'm looking for.
You can find it. You guys have the most amazing. I've only been to the Brewster one, by the way.
Which is an impressive place.
I go to the back of the Brewster store and hear, like, angels singing and playing. I mean, the selection is unbelievable.
This place, Porchester Hall, is my first place outside of Manhattan, but I've been in the business over 20 years now and had brew pubs and a brewery and beer halls. But one of the things I never tire of, and the restaurant business can be grueling, obviously, and a lot of you guys are in a similar business, and it can be tough. But there'll be a guy at the bar, and he'll say, "Are you Farmer John?" And we have a Farmer John's oatmeal stout, and my face is around somewhere. And I said, "Yeah." He says, "This beer is great. I love your beer." And when, you know, you never tire of that. When someone says, "I love your beer," it's like it makes it all worthwhile. And it's really a great, great feeling. So like I said, I just opened this place. And one of the reasons I took it and opened it is because I could do a beer garden. Like, I've done all these other things and beer halls. it's like a fantasy to do a beer garden. Because I'm a landscaper, I'm a horticulturist, I'm a botanist, I like to grow
flowers. We all have that fantasy.
I love it. I love it. I tried to do it.
I got 17 more to go, and I can open up something outside.
Oh, man. It is the best. And I help landscape. Really, if I had to do it all again, I would never have hired a landscape designer. I would have done it all myself.
Nice. So, still got time.
Yeah. You're right.
I used plenty of trees.
Did you do this one by yourself? Or you?
I didn't. I used a landscape designer.
But it's beautiful out there.
Yeah.
I mean, tell us about you have these custom tables from.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have communal tables out there. And the mill worker, who's a crazy guy, but loves working with me building huge bars and back bars, he built these tables and he found wood from the floorboards of railroad cars from the Pacific Northwest Railroad, specifically the dining cars. So it's really unbelievable. Of course, they weigh like 1,000 pounds each and you can't really move them. But we have two 20-foot stone fireplaces out there, so it's a great place to cozy up. Particularly, you know, the night before Thanksgiving, you know, have a couple.
But your beer garden, it's year round, right?
Yeah,
The pavilion is open on all sides, but there's walls and heaters. They roll down. It's real flexible. We've booked a couple of weddings already out there, which is a great place for big events.
But inside here is great for the winter.
Yeah,
and this is like it's like an old beer hall vibe that. You don't see too much in Manhattan.
No.
This is probably nicer than a beer bar in Manhattan. It is. I mean, it's beautiful.
No question.
There's nothing like this in Manhattan.
Well, it's big and spacious.
It's significantly larger.
And listen, the other beer halls I have are totally different from this because we're in an old railway station. Let's face it. It's got a lot of natural attributes, which a lot of other places don't. It's hard to invent it from a vanilla box.
How did you find this place?
There was a request for proposal by the MTA, and I happened to be on their list. And they know me. They like what I've done in the city. Everyone knows Heartland. They know of Heartland, and they're beer lovers. And it always helps when someone's a beer lover. They're on your side. And I think one of the people liked the Smiling Pumpkin Ale. And, you know, it has to do with a lot of different components, how you get selected. And fortunately, I was the winner. So I got a 20-year lease here.
Nice.
But what's really interesting about being up here in Westchester is it's very different from Manhattan. And people come in Manhattan, a couple will come in or a few guys will come in or someone will come and sit at the bar. Up here, you'll have three generations of people come in at the same time.
Yeah.
You'll have the kids, the grandchildren, and the grandparents all come in for a meal. And that's just not what we're used to. And they have dinner from 6:15 to 7:45 or 8 o'clock. And people are having dinner all night in Manhattan. So it's really a new drill for us, and it's still a learning curve, which I think we need another few months to figure out. But the people are just thrilled to be here. And they want to hang out and talk about the beer and how the food goes with the beer and what we've done before. So it's really pretty special. Plus, I get to sit by the fireplace, have a beer, and then take the train home without having to drive, which is probably the best part.
I think the biggest thing is proximity, and most people don't understand that, you know, it's 30 minutes or 35 minutes from Grand Central to here, and it's shorter than most people's commute to work.
Yeah,
it's even
shorter to go to Brooklyn.
Yeah, even in the city.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, it's a short, you know, 35 minutes, and they feel like they're going, you know, it's a big endeavor when it's not. You could be...
Well, it's still upstate.
Yeah. You know, you can be here. You can be here in less time than it takes to get from downtown to uptown in Manhattan, you know, and...
Sure.
You know, and I think that's the biggest thing we have to battle is the fact that they're like, oh, yeah, you're way up there. And you're like, you know, it's literally 30 minutes, you know. My wife commutes to work in more time than it takes, you know, us to get here from Manhattan.
All right. John, what's the beer we're drinking now? Is this the Imperial Saison?
We are drinking the Imperial Saison, which is...
We're getting that friendly list because...
It's brewed especially...
our third or fourth beer.
For the beer halls, and it's not available at the Heartland Brewery. And it's a big beer, what I like to call a chewy beer, although I'm not a brewer. I'll leave that to the brewers to describe
these.
Kelly, my brewmaster, his main thing is to have beers be balanced. And it's hard to balance a big beer, I think, and I think he's done a good job with this one.
What is this, 8.5 or something?
Something like that.
8.5.
Yeah. But it's still a session beer. You can only have 4 or 5 instead of 8.
For this table?
Yeah.
let's go deeper. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Westchester beer experts.
We're professionals. We
got the heart and soul of the Westchester beer community in this room. Let's go around the room and let's say, if Thanksgiving's coming up, what beer or style would you guys be serving in your places this time of year?
Not my favorite style, but pumpkin beers.
It's on fire. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's unbelievable how many pumpkins. We'll go through 12 kegs of different, you know, because every brewery.
So is there one that you like?
They start coming out in July.
Is there a pumpkin that you like? You're still going to serve pumpkin beer at Thanksgiving?
If there's any left. Yeah. We save some of the Southern Tier Pumpkin. Yep. It's really popular.
Yeah,
and everybody likes
they
that.
Make so much, and so we
Southern Tier.
We buy 3 or 4 kegs.
They're great.
And stash
we try to buy in. We try to have it last after Thanksgiving because it'll sell right through Thanksgiving. Yeah. Pumpkin beers.
A lot of pumpkin beers taste like pumpkin pie, or they're too sweet, there's too much clove in it.
Yeah.
And why
do they come out with them in July though? Like. I always want them in Thanksgiving.
Look
at the department as well. They start from Halloween.
Pumpkin beer stops selling Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I mean, we sell a ton of it. We sell more of it than any other beer. But as soon as Thanksgiving's over, we push it to one
store. So Thanksgiving, you're done with pumpkin. AJ and Joe, the craftsman, what beer would you guys want to have for Thanksgiving and beyond?
Imperial stouts.
Yeah, I was going to say stouts. Personally, I love... a nice big stout.
Sticks to your palate. Something that's going to have, layers.
A little more complexity than just, tastes like pumpkin.
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice.
Right.
You know, as much as there's many different styles of pumpkin beer, they're pretty much in the same
palate. We've never had a show where we talk about pumpkin beer at all.
There you go. This is a Thanksgiving show.
I still have certain pumpkin beer at my place. So, I don't have one pumpkin beer.
Something called a stumpkin, which is a combination of the oatmeal stout and the pumpkin.
Yeah,
and it's like a spicy stout.
Yeah,
and it's fun to turn people onto that.
We do pumpkins for 1 week out of the year. We save up starting from July, and once the middle of October runs around, we serve all our pumpkins all at the same time. So for 1 week. It's all pumpkins, all eight lines. We'll go through about 40 different kegs in that week. We'll go through about 75 different varieties of bottles, and then we don't sell them before that day, and we don't sell them.
But that is your busiest week of the year.
No kidding, man.
Yeah, that's how crazy it is.
Once they run out, there's
you guys at the Chicas. So pumpkin beer is really popular.
Oh my god!
which ones are you getting moved? You saw which
I mean, pumpkin. Yeah, pumpkin is the one that you just cannot.
Pumpkin
is nuts.
From last year alone, it's doubled the amount of pumpkins that have even hit the market.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, I don't want to be that guy, but there's a pumpkin lambic out there that people like right now.
The Turmans?
Yeah, they're gonna roll their eyes. But that's
I think it's real pumpkin or extract.
There's no taste of pumpkin.
I think they're all.
Is it real pumpkin or is it extract or is it just spicy?
I think it's a lot of spices.
Pumpkin is so popular now that we're bottling it for the first time. We only bottle beer like 4 times a year. So we do an Imperial Smiling Pumpkin. It's about 8.5%, and we're bottling it for the first time. And it's just the same thing.
That's like the Pumpkin. That's an Imperial.
Yeah.
I like the Imperial Pumpkin style.
Yeah.
But you guys, Joe and Chris and Chico, you guys have probably some of the you're selling some of the. I don't know how to describe you guys. Are you guys beer experts? Are you just supermarket guys who sell beer? I feel like you guys have a huge beer knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, how would you describe yourselves? Because you've really made an impact in beer in Westchester.
We grew up in the supermarket world. That's kind of all we know, but that can be, that can be kind of boring.
It's all related, the whole foodie type thing of pairings and whatnot.
Yeah.
You have appreciation for this amazing prosciutto. I mean, you're going to have an appreciation for this amazing beer. It all kind of just goes together.
So what was, tell us the typical DeChico store. We're going to take a break in a minute, but when we come back, we want to hear the DeChico story because it is an important part of this Westchester beer scene. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Thank you.
world.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. We're here at Porchester Hall. John Bluestein, Porchester Hall, is asking a question, but just so you know, while many people in the beer world are out there in Colorado, you know, basking in the lines of the Great American Beer Fest, we decided to come today to Westchester, to Porchester Hall, and embrace this great new beer culture in Westchester. And this is our Thanksgiving beer show that's being aired later. But first, let's go back to the DeChicos. We've got the DeChico cousins. How did you guys get started in selling craft beer? Because you guys are one of the deepest wells of craft beer in Westchester. They are.
So basically, mid-90s, our whole thing with the supermarket was specialty items, having a really good selection, being different than other stores.
So, I mean, our dad started the business, right, so let's start with that.
We'll take a
40
step
years ago.
So
give him a little credit.
Yeah, we'll give him a little credit. So picture, in the 50s they came, right? So our dads are born in Italy.
But they're cousins. They kind of look alike, don't they, John?
Wait.
Well, there's a story for
that. Yeah. You want to hear that story?
That's another radio
What, did you, the sisters married the
Two brothers married two sisters.
No way. Is that true?
Yeah, yes.
Is that, what is that?
Yeah,
that's
not true.
Incest.
It's legal. It's legal.
And you're both wearing plaid.
They couldn't live without each other.
Yeah, so two brothers married two sisters, which are our parents.
Wow.
So think about it. It's legit. It's not.
It's the only two that look alike.
It's a little wacky.
Oh, yeah.
But so you got the DeChicos come to America in the 50s. And our dads literally, which is kind of ironic, worked on the butcher shop and fruit stands on Bleecker Street back in the 50s.
Yeah, they were pushing push carts on Bleecker Street.
Lived on West
That's
Broadway.
How they first started, 10 years old.
You know, it was eight or nine of them in one apartment. So, that's the kind of whole American dream story that... You know, they were all able to go to college and open up their first little, meateria or little mini supermarket in the Woodlawn section of the Bronx. Eventually moved up to Westchester in the early 90s or late 80s. Or
84, yeah, the first Westchester store.
So if you want to kind of fast forward to the beer part, we're back in the mid-90s. You got the second generation of us are kind of just young guys at that time trying to, you know, put our own spin on what and add to or take to the next level what our dads and uncles have been doing. So, yeah, mid-90s, as kids, I mean, Chris, definitely not me. We couldn't even drink at the time legally. I'm teenagers, and I'm very young. Just, it was literally any beer six-pack that we could find, we'd put on the shelf and we'd sell it. And it started just from a pure fascination with having the biggest variety of beer we could. And then, you know, kind of moving up a couple years, we could finally start drinking it. And that obviously, that's when it kind of...
Legally.
That's when it really kind of exploded for us. But it was, at that time, it was just how many cool labels could we have on the shelves, and people were picking them up. And, I mean, you know more about buying back then. We were buying from Brooklyn Direct at that point, and we were the first, right? I mean, you could...
Yeah, I mean, we were the first, like, north of the city selling Brooklyn Brewery beers. You know, we were very early on with the whole thing. Back when they were distributing themselves and a lot of other awesome
beers. I have a question. Were the big brewers unhappy about that way back when?
Oh,
were
bringing
in all those crap beers?
And they hated us, too, because they're like, you're 15 years old. You're doing the beer orders?
I bet.
I'm like, yeah, you get one line, Budweiser.
That's it.
You guys are more ingrained. You're ingrained in Westchester everything, though. It's, you know, it kind of pushes the beer envelope, but, you know, when all aspects of the culture of Westchester you guys are involved in. I mean, you can't go anywhere without seeing DeChicos anything. And I think that helps push beer everywhere.
You've got a good reputation to start with.
Yeah, you know, so if it's whatever, if there's something, some kind of event in Westchester, you guys are involved with it, and then you're like, oh yeah, we're the beer guys too. And so that brings more awareness to beer that way as well.
So, yeah, I mean,
appreciate that, Joe.
Sure.
Our whole business model has always been it's been quality. So, you know, how is it? You know, we craft beers. I mean, for the most part, they're all really quality made, and it's just one facet of what we do. So, I mean, quality meat, quality produce, quality cheese, quality fish, quality everything, and we sell great craft beer. It just kind of goes with our whole business model, and we're having fun doing it.
Typical store,
yep.
Like, how many bottles of beer do you have? Do you sell how many lines for growlers?
Bottles of beer goes anywhere from 1,000 to 3,000, depending on the store.
Varieties?
Varieties, yeah.
1,000 to 3,000?
Yeah. Oh, it's massive.
Yeah. I guess I've never been there.
John, you're going to stop over.
Where's the closest one?
John, you're becoming a Rochester guy.
We'll get you a DeChico card and everything. It'll be great.
You get discount. And then what about your draft? Do you have drafts in every store?
Draft is, yeah. Every one of our stores have at least growler stations. 12 lines is the least up to, Armonk has 28. So 12 to 28 lines.
And the reason I'm going there is because, you know, being in the city, I know the different beer distributors. The Chico's does come up a lot. I know you guys move a lot of beer, but you're also moving quality beer. So cheers to you guys. I mean, really, it's an important part of Westchester having you guys here, too. And when we shaped this show, we wanted to have a couple of the boutique bars and the Chico's, and in particular being here at Portchester Hall, because, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on here. But the one thing about being up here, whether you're taking the train or you're going to the supermarket, there's the driving issue. You know, I'm from New York City.
Yeah.
You know, bars... people don't drive, but I think out here in Westchester, there's an issue of people going out for drinks and driving.
Sure.
So is that one reason that drives people going to the supermarket? Most people are taking beers to go. Is that how it works? Bringing beers home?
It could be. You've got the barbecue culture a lot more in the city. You know, people doing barbecues on the weekends and having parties and whatnot, where unfortunately in the city you don't have the room to do some of that stuff, so you're forced to go out more in the city. But,
what's the percentage at the bar? People taking growlers to go, or people sitting?
I mean, we sell a ton of growlers. I mean, I think it's more.
Yeah, you do too.
I think it's more a sense that there are. You know, you walk in any city block, you know, in Manhattan, and you could hit, you know, a dozen bars that maybe they're not craft beer bars, but they have craft beer. Where here, it's still your standards. You know, your Buds, Miller, Coors, and whatever. So they provide a service that, you know. There isn't a local bar that I can go and have craft beer, but I can go to the store and buy it and bring it home, and that way I'm not going without. And I think that's the bigger, you know, they're talking.
Well, that's the thing. This is like going back into the 90s.
Jarvis, Pennsylvania.
Growlers and packaged products are definitely a thing of the suburbs.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, and
especially when they're 15 years ahead of the game.
I offer growlers. We sell very few growlers.
Sure.
Yeah. And people come in for the experience and the food. Let's face it, in 2014, you can get good craft beer almost anywhere.
Sure. Yeah,
at least
absolutely.
One line of good craft beer.
Sure.
And usually more than one.
Yeah.
So
if you're a restaurant or a bar that doesn't have one or two craft lines, you are...
Yeah. And even the beers we're...
I don't know how you're still in business. The beers we're
drinking right now, which are really good beers... It's like other guys make really good beers. So what we try to do is create the atmosphere and experience over which people will never get. And some people love the Smiling Pumpkin Ale we have right now. And some people will like some other ale.
Is this the Imperial Pumpkin?
This is the regular pumpkin. And I think you'll find that what Kelly does, like I said, his thing is really balanced. And I think this one is. And I don't like pumpkin ale in general, but I do like this one.
You know, one thing I love about traveling, I mean, by traveling, I mean the different neighborhoods in New York. To me, it's whether it's going to Bed-Stuy or Williamsburg. I'm on the train coming up here to Portchester. Did I find a place that I like? I don't want to leave. So I think we're going to spend a lot of time here tonight hanging out, and we might jump on the Metro North and go over in Harrison to the Craftsman before I go home. And I may not make it back to the city for about 24 hours. So.
Yeah.
But you've really created a nice atmosphere here, John.
Thanks, man.
And then, you know, guys, like, you know, and I always go back to Tim Reinke from Burzell House because he's the guy, he was the Manhattan guy, and he moved up to Westchester, you know?
Right.
So I feel like you've got a sensibility that, I know many, many customers, people live in Westchester, that work in the city. So, anyways, cheers, man.
Cheers.
Like, it's the same thing. I think everybody here is a Yankees fan, which is, it's one big city, that's about New York, you know? But the question is, you have to drive home or not. And
we do get plenty of people that come up from Manhattan, even, despite the walk from up the hill.
Yeah.
Especially now that we have the Peekskill Brewery in our backyard.
Yeah.
People are more likely to travel to
the brewery
than
they travel
to the restaurant. Right? So they go to the brewery and then they hit us. Like it happens.
Well, that's like us. We're going to do a show in Peekskill, too, for sure.
Yeah.
We're due to come on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, even though Harrison, which is, you know, a small town and it's in the middle of Westchester, but I would say 75% to 80% of the people that we get there are from outside of Harrison and from all over Westchester.
Yeah.
We forgot about you.
Yeah. We made up for it. Yeah. That's good. So the last time we were talking about what beers would you be selling or buying for Thanksgiving, and we talked about pumpkin beers a little bit, and who wants to go next?
Well, I think we'll generally put on bigger beers.
Yeah.
More in the colder
beers
weather.
Beers that warm you up.
Yeah, there'll be a few more Imperials.
But like give us some names. What are some
porters?
Names of beers. Brands.
Brands.
The listeners in Ohio want to know, what beers are you buying?
Sell more Captain Lawrence.
Yeah,
In the fall.
Are we supposed to? We have sponsors.
I love a Belgian double.
Founders Breakfast Style nice, going on now.
A nice dry Belgian double for the holidays. The triple is a little bit much.
I tend to do that. I find that by the time Thanksgiving comes, guys, listen up. This is the wild. This is Westchester. These guys don't know about media. Come on.
Just came out.
But this time of year, Thanksgiving's coming. I think about things like what John said, Belgian doubles, stronger beers. And I know we're looking at the Christmas beer season.
Oh, yeah.
Actually don't usually buy that many Christmas beers. I feel like there's so many great traditional beer styles in the world, like Belgian beers, strong Germans, and English beers. That why do I need a Christmas beer? Do you guys would be selling Christmas beers?
You got to love Anchor Christmas. I mean, that's
a classic.
I own a brewery, but I drink that also. Yeah. I love that.
The funny thing for us, our busiest week of the year for beer is Christmas week.
Yeah,
it is insane. We sell the most beer out of the entire year is Christmas week.
Yeah.
Because gifts now, everybody wants beer as gifts, which is like a whole new
thing. Growlers, bags.
But are they taking growlers or large?
Mostly large format, 750. Everybody comes in.
So pick like five. Just think I'm talking about five large format, like 750
or greater. Yeah, I mean
it's crazy.
What beers will they be? Can you tell me a particular brand that's going to be the most popular this year?
It's
for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Belgian Christmas, St. Bernardus, the Christmas,
Christmas,
all that type of stuff. But I mean, people come in and they just want, my father's a beer drinker. I want to get him beer for Christmas, and it's just us picking everything out.
So you have like a 1.5 liter bottle.
Yeah, it's
we have 3 liter bottles.
3 liter, yeah, sure. 9 liter.
How many growlers do you guys sell in a busy week?
A few hundred, depending on location.
I'm surprised you don't sell more growlers here at the train station. People would get
off
the train.
For the train.
I'm not sure we offer them, actually.
You should here for the train. That'd be huge.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to want to go.
Not only that, Metro North, you can drink on the train.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, I was trying to design a go-cup. What I really want to do is a go-cup.
Yeah, but one cup, that's not going to last the train ride to back to where it's central.
You know, brown paper bag with your,
That is a great idea.
That was one of the things I wanted. Was Crashing Ale House stamp that I could put on a brown paper bag just for, to go road beers, for the people that are taking the train.
I'm taking notes. You can step from on the train.
I think, back to winter beer.
We're Westchester guys. Every time we get on a train, it's with a six-pack.
We pregame on our way to Blue Tiger.
Exactly. We're pregame on the Metro North.
So.
And you need to be able to sell them to get on the train with a beer.
Right, so you guys, where would you guys get on the train?
We live in White Plains, so we'd get on White Plains.
Okay. You get on, what would be a beer? It's Thanksgiving weekend, you're going to the city.
Yeah.
What beer would you guys bring with you to drink on the train? From your store?
Train beer. Well, jeez. I mean, we're usually grabbing cans for the train.
Yeah, we prefer cans in the train.
So
we can do growlers. Don't worry.
We can do growler.
You just need a bigger bag. That's it.
Yeah. We it's not too long. We get the bang for our buck. So we're probably
going. I mean, bells too hard. We've been counting a lot on the train lately.
Who else we like on the train?
It's tough to pound the bar.
This is Westchester. We got the fireman who moonlights as the bartender.
Yeah.
He knows more about beer than anyone in this room. So AJ, get over here.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
So what beer would you be bringing on the train?
I like the whole can idea because it's just easy.
Yeah, cans are great on the train.
I've always liked Cigar City High Life. If I'm feeling ambitious, maybe a 10-50.
And tell me about the Craftsman scene. The Craftsman House in Harrison. You're a fireman. A lot of guys in the community go there. So what are the beers that your buddies are drinking?
I say the most popular beer style, so to speak, would probably be an IPA.
Yeah, definitely IPAs.
Just because it's pretty approachable. You can get anything from a 4% up to... an 8.5%, 9%.
The thing about our menu too is that it's not
consistent. It's always changing. So even our bottle list, which is 150 bottles, you know, from week to week, you know, 30% of it will change. So, you know, we, you know, typically every week we look at our inventories and we try to get whatever wasn't available last week. And that's, you know, our ordering style. So we order whatever you couldn't have last week, and that's the new thing. And so, like, you're talking about when winter ales and Christmas beers come out, we're buying all of them because they weren't there 2 weeks ago. And all of a sudden, that gives everything a big boom. So from, you know, week to week, people coming in are like, oh, my God, this is – we got 15 new beers that are –
Which makes a bartender's life really wonderful.
you know what? To show you how far we've come, years ago, when someone ordered an IPA, oftentimes they send it back because they ordered it because they thought it was pale. They thought the color was pale. Now at least people know that it's a pale ale as a style, and it's not too bitter. They complained about that. So people's palates have changed dramatically.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah. When we first started, probably the biggest style was ESB. Which is almost a dead style at this point. I mean, nobody's buying ESBs. But like in the mid-90s, that was the style.
Empire State Building. A Heartland Brewery location for those of you outside of the tri-state area.
And you guys actually do make good beers. You know, it's like Heartland Breweries, you're like what? Are you the largest brewer in New York City or you're just one of the prominent brewers in New York City?
Oh, hell, how would you put it? We've been open longer than any other continuously open brewery in New York. We're also the largest urban brew pub chain in the world.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I like your beers.
I love saying that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But what you need is you need me to help you pick your styles. My favorite is the single hop pale ale. It's kind of current.
Yes.
And I know everybody, the thing is, everybody wants pumpkin ales. And I can't argue with that. This pumpkin ale is great.
But at the same time, if we only ordered, you know, like as at the Craftsman Ale House, if we only ordered beer that I like to drink, then, you know.
We'd be out of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
What would that be?
That's the hard part.
This is good, because the guys, the masterminds behind these great Westchester beer establishments, Joe, what would you drink if you were just drinking for yourself?
Man,
see if you really know what you're talking about.
Well, I know what I'm talking about. The thing is,
there are so many.
You know, but you know what?
Logs in right now.
Yeah, I mean, the answer to that question is I'm out there drinking anything I've never had before, regardless of style. You know, that's my next favorite beer. Is the first, you know, is I go to a, you know, Birdsall House and I'm like, all right, which beer on here haven't I had? And that's what I'm having because everything else, you know. I can't speak about it. I can't teach it. I can't do anything if I haven't had it. And so I don't always go back and drink everything that I've had over and over again. It's always about what the next style is or what the next beer in general is. And so regardless of style, whether I love it or not, that's what I'm having because that's what I haven't had. And I can't consider myself, you know, a teacher or an expert if I haven't had everything.
You're a brave man.
Yeah,
it's getting a lot harder to pick the beers that we want because there's so many. Like they said, they have 1,000 different brands.
Sure.
We have 20 drafts, and you know, I'm only as good as my beer rep is. Like he's got to let me know. He's got to send me the inventory. If your brand is at a crappy distributor, and you've got the guy they have on the street isn't doing their job, then what
doesn't care.
You know, yeah, it doesn't care.
Yeah.
Last thing, we'll wrap it up. Okay, let's go around the room. In Westchester, the top beer experts here, what's your ideal way to serve beer? Whether it's a certain type of glass or a growler, does everyone give me a quick little anecdote about what they think makes their place special and how you serve beer and why you think it's better than someone else or whatever you want to tell me. Let's start with the Chicos.
For us, if we're going
to
do
it. He's always ready to talk.
I'm ready. Yeah, we're ready.
Intermarried. The mother and the father of brothers.
We're like incest right here.
Yeah.
For us, we've been using counter-pressure fillers for years now. Probably 6-7 years counter-pressure, which is great. Great way to really.
So you have very high standards for your growlers.
Absolutely.
Systems.
Yeah.
System. I mean, look, I always joke around that we have the best beer selection. I'm tap list. in a supermarket. So I mean, I don't think anybody can argue that.
I mean, yeah. You can't probably the best and worst, but only one.
I never believed that. I was like, why are people talking about the Chico supermarket from here? But you guys did it, and congratulations. Thank and you. In Birdsall House, you're the opposite. You came from Blind Tiger, so you've kind of got beer royalty. What are your standards for service and other things?
Keep your draft lines clean. That's one of the most
In Westchester, it's a little shaky.
Is draft beer your number one thing at Birdsall House?
Yeah.
So you're draft.
Liquid-wise, we sell way more beer than any other liquid. Some weeks more beer than food.
And then Coachman's in Harrison. What would you guys say that sets your service apart or makes your place unique that you could teach someone or something?
I think it's the fact that, you know, all our staff is very knowledgeable. Most of them brew. Yeah, most of them are into the industry and are traveling for to breweries, and they can speak intelligently and educate pretty much anybody that walks in the door. And I think that's what
Do you guys host a homebrew club?
We do host a homebrew club. We
do too.
Yeah.
So what are the homebrew clubs up here? Which ones do you guys host? That's a big part of the beer scene.
Northern Westchester Homebrew Club.
And what about Coachman's?
Craftsman. We have our
Coachman's
own.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah.
I know. I'm a fish out of water up here.
Yeah.
Coachman's, Craftsman's.
We have we've hosted, Westchester Homebrewers, club, and we also have a small one that started in our bar.
Tim, that's a sign of a healthy craft beer community, the homebrew scene. What about you guys, the Chicos? You host homebrew clubs?
We do.
Just because our Brewster Star was such a destination for beer, we started around us, so it's called Hopped. So it's homebrewers of Putnam and Dutchess County, so believe it or not. So even the next county,
St. Jude,
these guys
families
found
never
us
receive a bill.
Yeah,
for
I find it the healthy craft beer, everyone's homebrewing and aspiring. Everybody wants to be a brewer. What about you guys, for John?
Listen, I'd love to have all you guys have your meetings with your home brewers club here. One of the things we do in our other restaurants, we support home brewing. We have the New York City Brewers Guild meet in our places, so we're open to that entirely. We love that.
Now, John, what about the special aspects of service and style here at Port
Chester? When we pour a beer, I just dumped something in the middle of the table for those of you who aren't here. It's a 35-ounce German Rostal Stein, and it will keep your beer cold interminably.
Why am I not drinking it right now?
And what's more, when you pour that 2-inch head, it will maintain itself for 30 to 40 minutes. Has a lot to do with the glassware. Clean glassware, room temperature glassware, and big glassware.
How did you pick the glasses for here, John?
Well, those are traditional beer hall steins, and beer halls traditionally came up in Germany, so we have some German steins here. Even though we're very much an American beer hall, you can't fight the stein. People look at it, and it feels like a beer hall.
I'll tell you, this has been a special show. I came up to Port Chester Hall in Westchester. We brought together some of the best people in Westchester beer, including John Bluestein of Port Chester Hall, Joe Jr. and Chris DeChico of the Chico's Markets, who are probably selling more beer in Westchester than anybody. We got Joe and AJ from the Craftsman Ale House in Harrison, and our good buddy Tim Reinke from Birdsall House in Peekskill. So this is a little preview of what's going on in Westchester, but thanks for listening, and this is our Thanksgiving show. And coming up, there's special events in New York City. There's Battle of the Belgians at Jimmy's number 43. And looking forward to February in 2015, the New York City Beer Week, which Kelly Taylor, who's the brewer for Heartland Brewery and the whole beer works they have, is the president. So this might be the best New York City Beer Week ever. We're looking forward to that. So in closing, I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com. We hope to bring this podcast to you tonight. Thanks to John, Tim, Joe, AJ, Joe, and Chris for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Maggie Seiden and Justin Kennedy, and our engineer, Jack Inslee, back at the Heritage Radio Network. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right, guys. Woo. Yeah, all right.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.